Mirandela.
Good morning.
Morning.
You're the first.
Okay.
Did you get a good night's sleep, I hope?
I did. There's nothing like sleeping in your bed with your good old pillow.
That's for sure.
It's going to be a pretty day today.
Well,
it's really sunny.
It's still raining here.
Oh.
But it's okay.
Well, rain is good.
I agree.
It makes all kinds of good things happen.
It does.
Today it's sunshiny first for a change. So
it's 5 more minutes, so.
Okay.
Just keeping you informed.
Okay.
Malka.
Good morning. It's nice
morning,
to Anna. Hear from you. I hope
Thank
you're feeling
you.
Better.
I'm getting there. I got about 2 more weeks left on our rehab situation, and each day gets better. Thank you.
Glad to hear it.
Is everything well with you?
Baruch Hashem, everything is good. So today we are studying Psalm 73, and you'll find the handouts on the Unique Astrological Times landing page. When it opens up, scroll down to the section Ta'anit Gibor. And the first link that we will start at is Psalm number 69 to 150. It's the Psalms landing page. And when that opens up, scroll down to Tehillim 73, Psalm 73. And you'll find at the bottom of that section of Psalm 73 a link to the Nechon Mamre website for Psalms. And when that opens up, scroll down to Psalm 73. I'm also going to possibly utilize certain sections of the introduction. On the Rabbi Sutton's Evening for Redemption PDF, which you can open up and scroll to Psalm 70, well, scroll to the introduction. I'll tell you the page number when we'll get there if I decide to use it. I'm just letting you know. And we'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bidhilu urshimu udhilu udhilu urshimu liyakta l'shem yudhe babate v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asof Torah mitzvah v'ayehino amadunay Elohinu aleinu ma'asey adenu k'nenei aleinu ma'asey adenu k'nenehu. And we're starting with the Psalms landing page at Tehillim 73. This psalm addresses the question of why the righteous suffer while the wicked prosper, and prays for an end to our long exile. Read, and you will find repose for your soul. And this is the above Kavanah. Traditionally, when reading this psalm, the first word is mizmor. And I recommend you read the starting page, starting at page 6 for the PDF in the introduction. Mizmor, as we've spoken a number of times, Mizmor is a cutting song, a pruning song. Pruning means to cut away what's unnecessary. Is the question, why do good people suffer, necessary to ask? Yes, of course, everyone does ask it. But what does the question imply? Some people think that the question implies a lack of trust in Hashem. Personally, I don't think that. I think it's a question that needs to be asked by every person in order to increase their certainty that Hashem knows what he is doing, and that the plan of creation is the correct path to follow. If you don't question Hashem, as we learn from Moses questions Hashem, if you don't question Hashem, your level of certainty is that of a child asking his parent, trusting his parent. But at what point in the maturation process does a child start to question his parent? Now, the first verse that we are going to read in the Hebrew actually starts with two words. Mizmor le'asaf. And in Rabbi Sutton's Yearning for Redemption, he gives us some information. It's on page 31 of the 216 total pages. It's section 6 and 7 in this, entitled Mizmor, the power of song, Nigun, the power of melody. The simple meaning, the simple translation of Mizmor is a psalm or a song. But the root zamer also means cutting or pruning, as in Tizmor Karmecha, prune your vine. When we sing the Mizmorim Psalms of King David, we are attempting to cut away the emotional barriers that prevent us from seeing God in his world. Except this is not a song necessarily written by King David. It's a song written by, or some sages think, that there was a man whose name was Asaph. The simple translation of Asaph, Aleph Samach He, is more, M-O-R-E, to add to great, to find additional, to form additional. This is a pruning away of the additional, of the things that separate us from greater certainty. That's my opinion, based on a certain aspect of logic. Whether it's true or not is up to you to determine for yourselves. There are 28 verses in Psalm 73. And the number 28 connects to the Hebrew word koach. Koach translates as power or strength. Other words with a gematria of 28 are translated as, and Hashem, my sin, and tell. These words will come clear as we read the psalm, as we study the psalm. I'm transferring to the Mechon Mamre. Rabbi Sutton did not translate Psalm 73, indicating that it's a difficult psalm to translate. And I think you got that impression, or can understand that impression, that difficulty by what I said about how do you explain the word asaf or la asaf, which is the first two words in the first verse, mizmor le asaf. And a translation of that could be prune the teachings of the person named Asaf. Or it could be prune the teachings of more. There is an adage that is taught in the Kabbalah. Be happy with what you have, then you can ask for more. Until you appreciate what you have been receiving from Hashem, how can you ask for more? And you can understand the difficulty in translating just these two words. So let us begin with verse 1. Mizmor le'asaf, ach tov li'Yisrael, Elohim levare levav. Surely God, surely Elohim is good to Israel, even to such as are pure in heart. So is this saying Israel gets a pass, whether it's pure in heart or not, Elohim is going to be good to Israel? Or is it saying that those who are pure in heart, anywhere, whether they are Jewish or not, Elohim is good to them? Again, you see the difficulty in the translation. Something that is, I think, is important. The last word, levav. We know this word from the Shema Yisrael, and it is explained that lev lamed bet means heart. But the second bet indicates a plural of hearts. Levav, we are taught, are the two hearts, the heart of stone and the heart of compassion. Two hearts, the good inclination and the evil inclination. And again, you see the difficulty in translating. Leave the second to the last word. Livare. The first two letters spell heart, lev. The gematria of Re Yud, 210, is the letters that create the planet, the month of Virgo, the month of Elul, the month of the astrological sign of Betulah, which is the Virgin. Livare is the heart or the virginal heart, the heart of the virgin. And this is where the concept of pure comes from. But you can understand how it could be translated so many different ways. Second verse. Wa ani kimat natayu raglai keayin shuku ashurai. In this verse, you have two words that are written one way and pronounced another. The English translation, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Feet is a code word for malchut, for manifestation. Is it asking, is it saying that my connection is gone? Is it saying that my work is gone? Is it saying that my manifestation is gone? The word ashrei is a word that translates, or it's cognate at the very least. Ashrei is cognate, sounds like praise. And here it's saying it slipped. The translation is so very difficult. And please understand that. The third verse. Ki kineti beholim shalom rishayim. For I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. First off, the fourth word, shalom. It's not shalom. It's exactly the same letters, but the vowel is different. Do you see anywhere in there that says hello or peace or goodbye, which is the typical simple translation of shalom? That vowel is very significant. If you look at the word, the shin, as we've mentioned many times, connects to the word for passion, for fire, because the shin created fire. And the mem sofi connects to water, but it's an enclosed water with the inability to flow, to expand, to do it, to live its nature. And what is between them? The word lo, lamed vav, would be the 36 tzadikim, representing the central column between fire and water, between chesed and givurah. Or it could be him, Hashem, who is mediating between fire and water. Or it could be a human being, the 36 righteous. Or it could also be the word no, N-O. No separation. You begin to get a sense of how difficult it is to translate this psalm. But if the English translation that is here gives you a clear understanding How many of us are envious of the arrogant? How many of us are envious of the prosperity of the wicked? How many look at the prosperity of the wicked and desire it to the extent that they will give up their spiritual work and follow the path of physicality? Chas v'shalom, God forbid. And yet, to be honest, on a surface level, we see this frequently in our world. Verse 4. Ki ein chartu abot lemotam uvario ulam. For there are no pangs at their death, and their body is sound. What is this verse saying, if it's an accurate translation? What is it saying? When someone dies, but their body appears healthy, they don't have disease, they're able to walk without walkers or wheelchairs or canes, they're able to see the same as they were when they were 20. And yet we see them just hurting people. We see them not caring about others. We see them desiring for themselves alone. It's not what we are taught in the Torah. If you live a life filled with selfishness, we are taught there is a chaos that must follow you, that must be the effect. But with our eyes, we sometimes do not see this. And that sometimes causes us to question the words of the Torah, the words of Hashem. Chas v'shalom. Understanding the words of Hashem, trying to understand cause and effect, this is a good thing, but not when you lose your path. You lose your connection because you accept the vision, the interpretation of what you are seeing as being, it's okay to hurt people. There's no effect of hurting people. We get some hints. The word Enosh refers to the third generation of mankind. This generation was led by the son of Seth, Enosh. Enosh taught his generation, or his generation learned on their own, that when you thank the angel who brought you things, you also needed to thank God. But they forgot about thanking God, and they only thanked the angel. They started out knowing that they had to thank both. Just as when you thank your mother for preparing dinner for you. Well, I'm using that as just one example. You thank your mother for preparing dinner for you. You're also thanking God. But do you remember to do so? Thank you, Mom. That was a delicious meal. Thank you, God. Needs to be said as well. Maybe in a quieter way, maybe in a whisper, maybe in just thoughts, although we know we're in the world of action, so typically it needs to be said. But your mom is the messenger to you from Hashem. In the preparation of that meal, your mom is the messenger. She is the angel. And that applies to every area of our lives. Verse 6. Lakin anakatmo gawa yata shit samas lamo. Therefore, pride is as a chain about their neck. Violence covers them as a garment. Have you heard the word chamas before? That is the sixth word out of seven. And we know seven words in a verse indicates the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut. But is this Zeranpin and Malchut of the negative system? The word Hamas, you've heard it. It refers to a group of, I don't want to say Arabs, but that's the modern connotation. It's a group of people who are taught violence and act out on violence. Hamas means violence. Why do you think these people have chosen this name? Verse 7. Yatza mechelev einemo avru maskiyot levav. Their eyes stand forth from fatness. They are gone beyond the imaginations of their hearts. I'm putting in the S. The English is saying heart because they don't know how to translate the plural of heart. It's hearts. They don't recognize in their translation the evil inclination and the good inclination. 6 words connects to Zeranpin alone. And 25 represents 5 times 5. And when we're talking about the frame of 5, we're talking about Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. It's a complete structure, but it's not a partsuf. It's not a complete structure of 10. It's a lower level of completion. One way of understanding that, which is my understanding as of today, the frame of reference of 5 represents completion, but completion that is not fully complete, but it's a stage in the path to full completion. If your goal is to be married and you go on a date, and that person that you're on the date with, you know, is not the right one for you, you have completed a stage of 5. You know this isn't for you. And you move on and go on another date with another person. The overall completion of the goal is not yet there. You're not yet married. But each person that you decide is not for you is one of the stages. And that becomes complete. As you know, this person isn't for you. You're moving closer to the full completion of the 10 Sephirot, the goal of being married and actually manifesting that marriage. Again, that's just an example. Verse 8. Yami kuvidaberu biraosek oshek mi marom yidaberu. They scoff and in wickedness utter oppression. They speak as if there were none on high. Six words connects to Zerunpin. But again, is this the Zerunpin of the positive system or the Zerunpin of the negative system? Remember, Hashem created this opposite that. Twenty-six letters indicates that it's a connection to Hashem. Excuse me, I counted the next verse. It's 27 letters indicating that it's the vessels. And the vessels can be positive, but do negative actions. Number 27 connects to all of the 27 letters of the alphabet, which includes the final letters. And we know the process of the final letters is that it is at the end, and by being at the end, it's a cleansing process. And that helps us understand which of the two systems this verse is connecting to. The ninth verse, and I've already told you there are 26 letters. So before I read it, let's count the number of words. There are six words connecting to Zerunpin, but here, because we know there are 26 letters, we know its connection to the positive system. Sha'atu b'shamayim b'yem u'shlonam ta'ti halach v'aretz. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. The 10th verse. Lakein Yashuva Mohalom Ume Male Yimatsu Lamo. Notice the word Yashuv. It's a verb that connects to the concept of teshuvah, return. But look at the way it's spelled. Yesh, yud, shin is, there is, as in Yesh Shem. The name of our website was chosen with this idea in mind. And the Yud Bet represents the 12. It's written, there are 12. It said, return. Can we understand this, that this verse is telling us there are 12 who need to return? That's a question for you to answer for yourself. Now let's read the verse in English. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of fullness are drained out by them. How can you understand this? If people are to return, where would you be returning to? You were born in Las Vegas. Do you return? You've traveled the world and now you return to Las Vegas? I don't think so. When you return to Hashem. But does Hashem drain the waters of fullness from you? No. He continues to fulfill as you grow your vessel. He continues to fulfill your vessel. How can we understand this verse? The 11th verse. We amru eka yadael. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Has anybody on this conference call or listening to this recording ever asked, how does God know? Do you want to be God? Because that's the only way you can answer that question. It's the only way you can understand the motivations of another human being. By being them. By having their life experience. By having their previous life's experiences. Who would ever ask the question, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? What do you mean by the Most High? Well, I know there are many Christians in the world that refer to Hashem as the Most High God. But you don't hear that expression in Jewish circles. They either use Hashem or Adonai. They don't call, normally, it's not referred to as this word, the Elyon, in the Most High. Verse 12. Achrik zikiti livavi. My mistake. Verse 12. Hine ele rishayim v'shawe olam hishgu chayil. Behold, such are the wicked, and they that are always at ease increase riches. Seven words indicating a connection to the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut. Twenty-seven letters connecting to the all of the vessels, all of the creations. The 13th verse. Achrik zikiti livavi v'erchatz b'nikayon kapai. Surely in vain have I cleansed my heart and washed my hands in innocency. This verse is questioning, what have I been doing following the Torah? God forbid I would ever ask that question in that way. seven words connecting to the unity of Zeren, Tinen, Malchut. There's 27. Let me make sure. Twenty-eight letters connecting to Koach, the power or the strength. The 13th verse. I'm sorry. I want to point out the word levavi. It's levav, but with the yud on the end indicating my heart or my hearts. But notice the change in vowels. It doesn't say levav. It doesn't say levvi, which it could say. The 14th verse. Wayahi nagua kol hayom v'tokachti labkarim. For all the day have I been plagued, and my chastisement came every morning. Six words connecting to Zeren Pin alone. Twenty-seven letters connecting to the creation, all of the vessels. Is the vessel the negative system? If the vessel has no fulfillment or not complete fulfillment, it has free will, but it also has a connection to both the positive and the negative systems. We have about 9 minutes left to our hour. Oops, we clearly do not have enough time to complete the next 14 verses. This is the middle verse. So I am going to do the 15th verse because I want to connect to Hashem. Yud-Heh, Yah. So I will complete the 15th verse and we will start next week with the 15th verse. Im amarti asabra kimo hine dor vapanecha vagadti. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I had been faithless to the generation of thy children. A more accurate translation would be the second to the last word, banecha, is your children. The word bet nun yud can be translated as my child or the plural of children, a plural of child, which is children. And then the kaf sofit represents the possessive pronoun your. There are eight words connecting to Bina. there are 30 letters representing that this is the lesson. This is the teaching. What is this verse saying? It's questioning, how can you question God in this way? That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? No questions. I wish you all Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful Shabbat. Much peace in your life. Shalom Gadol. Classes on Motzi Shabbat, we will have a Zohar class. And on Sunday, we will continue our study of the Nair meditation as we prepare more for the holiday of Hanukkah. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.